Hi, I'm Jack, and if you haven't met me yet, I'm part of the preaching team here at Lakeside, and really glad to be with you this morning. Well, we are in a new series, kicked off last week by Robin, called Acts, the Church Unleashed, and she shared just briefly about how two unsuspecting followers of Jesus, in their grief at the loss of Jesus, were just walking down the road, and the unexpected happened, and Jesus took what was an ordinary moment and turned it into extraordinary, because their hearts burned within them. And in the book of Acts, we're just going to continue to see how God does extraordinary things through the Holy Spirit. May the fourth be with you. And it seems fitting to talk about Holy Spirit. So come with me to the book of Acts, strong in the Holy Spirit. You must. It's also called Acts of the Apostles, but really better, it's the Acts of God through the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see. So we're going to talk today about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when I say Holy Spirit, maybe right now something just comes to your mind. You maybe have had an experience, or maybe it was good, or maybe you've come from a background where it's one of those things they talk about sort of like at the bottom of your backpack. Oh yeah, that's another part of the Christian faith. But as I say Holy Spirit, I'm sure it's going to bring up all kinds of thoughts, and I hope to bring some clarity to you today as we look at Acts. Let's pray. Our God, we just come before you this morning, and we thank you that you are the author and giver of life. We thank you that there is truth in your word that we can explore, and that Holy Spirit, you can be our guide, our companion. You can inspire us, you can encourage us, and draw us to a deeper sense of faith, community, and relationship with you. So I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at the first 11 verses, but we're going to go through it a part at a time. So we're going to look at the first three verses. The promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up in heaven. After giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked with them about the kingdom of God. I'm going to stop there. Just a little background. The author is Luke. Also, of course, wrote one of the Gospels. He was a Gentile and a companion of Paul. He is the only non-Jew, and if you like stats, he was accounted for 28% of our New Testament. But he had two volumes, Luke and Acts, and he moves forward with his recall of the early events of the church. And in doing so, he presented a defense for the ministry of Paul, as he was awaiting trial in Rome before Caesar Nero. Luke was a doctor. He was very meticulous in his approach to recording the events in his book, and he structured those things very well for us. The book itself was wrote about 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus, and so he could refer people back to the actual eyewitnesses of the events that he was speaking about. He had access to Peter, John, the apostles. And then we have this guy, Theophilus, probably someone who backed the mission, helped with the finances, spread the manuscripts that Luke recorded. And so as we look into this book where we're going to talk about the Church Unleashed, it's the actual continuance of Jesus' ministry. But now it's going to be fueled by the active presence of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had been speaking about all along. And the Holy Spirit was going to be the continual and abiding presence of the early church. And I think one thing that you see right away that Jesus intentionally does as he speaks to his disciples here is he again writes, and this is what Luke records for us, he gives them further instructions through the Holy Spirit. It was, again, just right there in the introduction that even Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit to minister and to even give teaching to those of his followers. That's important. And I think sometimes, you know, we think it's on us to figure it out. You know, to lay out the plan, to figure out what God is doing, and to fulfill the mission, create the mission. And yet we come back to the realization that with the church, it's coming back to relying, listening, and abiding in the Holy Spirit. So, we move on to verse 4. Let's take a look again at verse 4 in Acts chapter 1. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." It's sort of like, runners, take your mark, get set, wait, wait, don't go, not yet. There's this period of waiting. Something really significant's going to happen. It's going to completely change the game, the course. The Holy Spirit was going to come in a fresh way, and there was going to be a whole new way to build his church. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty impulsive. If you remember from my story the last time I spoke, I made the decision to go to Bible school in the weekend. So I like to jump in. I like to figure things out, sort of like, you know, figure out how to swim as you jump in. But in building his kingdom, his body, his bride, the church, it was going to be different. Wait. Wait for the gift. Verse 6. Let's move on. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, like a broken record. No, it doesn't say that. "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" And he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know." And I think, again, the disciples aren't getting it at this point. They're thinking this is going to be a political movement. They think this is going to be how we're going to change the world. Right? Politics, you know, put Jesus in government, and he's going to, you know, change everything, and everything's going to be better. And it's never through the government. The major theme that Jesus was going to say, there's going to be a shift. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not going to be political. It's not going to be about overthrowing Rome. It's not going to be by force. Jesus quickly tells them, this is the path for his kingdom. Don't you like that? Restore our kingdom. Bring things back to the way we want it to be, how we want it. And Jesus is saying, it's not about you. It's about me. And we'll see how it's going to happen through Holy Spirit. It's going to look completely different than what you're thinking. And then we get to kind of the crux of this part of the passage here, and that's verse 8. So let's look at verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So let's remember, Holy Spirit is God, always existed with God, co-equal, co-eternal. It's not an it, not a force, has all the attributes of a personality, mind, emotions, will. And we read in the New Testament where there's places where Holy Spirit can be grieved, also can be quenched. And we need to know that the Holy Spirit has many different functions in the church and in the life of a believer. And Jesus even taught that Holy Spirit will be with you, present tense. He will be around you, influencing you, leading you to even the ability to know Jesus comes through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is often the first to work on you, even as a non-believer, non-follower. There's that drawing power into a relationship with him. We read in other places that the Holy Spirit is also going to be in us. He indwells his followers. He's inside of you. But here, in this passage, the preposition is upon. He's going to come upon them. So there's a difference here. There's an overflow. There's going to be this empowering work of the Holy Spirit. And while it's interesting to note that the dominant word in the Gospels is love, you see love, 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 especially in John, power is going to be this dominant word that we're going to see in Acts. Power is dunamis in the Greek. It's dynamic power. It comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural confidence that Holy Spirit gives that will stare down insecurity or maybe a feeling of lack. It's a person who, like Peter, was so timid and denied Jesus three times to the man who stood before so many people in the power of the Holy Spirit and proclaimed that Jesus was Lord. And 3,000 people, right, came to faith in Jesus, so powerful. His message of love, forgiveness, of hope to everyone in sight, and the massive initial growth of the early church. And then you see the words, "You shall be my witnesses." Now, this is in the indicative, not the imperative. I think that's important to notice. Jesus isn't demanding them to be witnesses. He's not stating it as a command. He's saying is a direct result of the filling and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. It's indicative of what's happened in them. And maybe you think of witnesses and you think of people going door to door and knocking on people's door. And you think of yourself hiding behind the door. Or you think of yourself going somewhere where they can't see you. But I want you to know this. A witness is someone who just testifies to what they've seen and what they've heard. It's someone who is just saying, look, this is what I've seen Jesus do, or this is what he's done in my life. We're not called to be lawyers. No one's been argued into the kingdom of heaven. And I know sometimes you feel like you're in over your head, not sure how to share your faith or how to do it naturally with people. But I want to say that your story is your witness. Your story and the story of people around you, your community, is the most authentic way that the gospel can go. It's not about memorizing a script. So there's three themes really here. We've got the people. He calls everyone. You know, imagine you have a product, you believe it's going to change the world. You have a business model, it's going to be a global movement, you need venture capital, investors, a marketing strategy to go viral, you need influencers to launch your movement, and maybe an opportunity to get on Dragon's Den. Well, I have a niece, and she's got this app It's called Taste the City. It's sort of like you go from one restaurant to another. You have this whole experience. And they're going before Dragon's Den to kind of launch this thing. But Jesus, he had 120 ordinary people. And look what happened in only 30 years in the infancy of the movement of Jesus' followers. We all have a role to play. Every single part of the body is important. Now they went to from a group, again, who were terrified and in hiding, to a group who weren't afraid to speak about Jesus and the difference that he made in their lives. You know, there was times you get on into Acts, and even the religious people are looking at these people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're saying, they took note. They knew something. There was something different. And they said, these people had been with Jesus. Again, the actual word witness means martyr. And even when their life was on the line, they weren't afraid to speak about Jesus and the difference that he made in their lives. So remember, Acts is a sequel to the book of Luke. And then we get to the power. So we have the people, and then we have the power. And the power is kind of one of those things. Maybe you've watched those Got Talent shows, and it says, you know, below, don't try this at home. Someone contorts their body into every shape you can imagine. And this is the thing. The point is, you should never try to accomplish what Jesus wants to do in your life without the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? I'm going to get to that. But it comes sometimes with a simple invite. Trusting God in the moment. Asking Holy Spirit to give you strength. Maybe you know someone and they maybe will never get to a service at a church. But you, as a follower of Jesus, you carry the living presence of God inside you. Maybe a friend is going through a challenging time. You can pray for them. Maybe they need healing from a broken relationship. You can pray. Maybe they need physical healing. You can pray. Pray in the power of Jesus' name. Most people that I've asked to pray for don't refuse prayer, Christian, non-Christian. But in that process, we need to be bold and ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can give you the words to pray for someone. You could even pray quietly to yourself first and say, God, give me the words to pray. Or maybe the word to pray. Show me what to focus on. And then the plan was to move out. So we are loved and we are sent. The context of their influence, as we see in this verse, was to start at home, their Jerusalem, move from city to province to country, their nation, and beyond the nation. But we can start here. We can start in our homes, with our families, with our neighbors, even asking Holy Spirit, how can I pray for my kid, my child? Resting in his power, our community groups. Again, I want to add that there are so many people who have never experienced even someone praying for them. We've been, of course, involved with Alpha. And at moments in Alpha, when we have the opportunity to pray for someone, just tears. They've just never had that experience where someone has taken the time to pray for them. Yes, be prepared. You may face rejection. And it sometimes comes from the people who are in closest relationship with you. As a roofing contractor, I have had opportunities to pray with the people of some of the homes that I've worked on. They joke I'm closer to God because I'm on their roof. Or maybe I'll be closer to God when I fall off their roof. No, okay, we won't go there. I wear my ropes. So I can say, though, that many times, even in my own business, I can see the hand of God, just how he divinely sets things up and moments up for me. And Jesus' own stories of relating to the faith of unexpected people. It's sometimes those people that you least expect are interested, that desire it most, that want prayer, that just want that you're the living presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit through you to minister to them. And it really is about being led by the Holy Spirit. I can't emphasize that enough, because it's gonna, when we don't rely on the Holy Spirit, it's gonna feel like a chore, it's gonna feel like homework, it's gonna feel like a task. I continue to learn more and more about the Holy Spirit. Ellie and I went to a Holy Spirit encounter weekend a few months ago, and it was so powerful. They led us in some exercises to just expand our hearts and to be able to just receive forgiveness and healing even ourselves. And I really believe that the good news of Jesus is always meant to run alongside a demonstration of his power, okay, and authority. So when we pray in the authority, not in our own authority, but in the authority of the name of Jesus, the strong, powerful name of Jesus. And so they did something at the end. They finished the day by having us sit in groups of three with people that we had never met before. And so I ended up in a group with two other people who had recently gone through divorce like myself. And so in those groups, we were just asked to pray first and ask the Holy Spirit maybe for a word or a picture for the people sitting with us. I'm telling you, it was beautiful and it was personal. And we're told, you know, don't try to make sense of it. Maybe nothing will come, and just be honest with that person. But share with them and allow them to sense whether it's something that they resonate with. And so in that moment, God gave me a picture for the man that I was sitting with. And it was just really a simple thing. I just saw like a small shoot coming right out of the soil. And it was just kind of a little bit of growth coming out. It was showing that something was happening. And I shared that with him. And he said, you know, I've been praying for my son and believing God that he's going to, you know, work in his life. And he just received that and just trusted that God was doing something even though he couldn't see it with his own eyes. And the tears came down his face from just something simple like that. And then for the woman there, I saw a young girl running through a field of flowers. And she was playing this game of daisies. You know, I told her, I see you just playing this game. He loves me. He loves me not. And then she told me, she said, you know, I've just gone through hip surgery. I'm longing, looking forward to that day when I'll run again. And she says, you know, I've been also doubting God's love, and I feel like God's telling me that he wants me to remember that, to not doubt his love for me. And now, not at this weekend. They did have something for me, but I want to tell you something different, because sometimes it looks really different. I was at another Holy Spirit weekend, and someone said, you know, they didn't know me. They said, I hear the song Footloose when I'm looking at you. And I'm like, really? Footloose? And I'm thinking, the lyrics. I'm like, okay, Jack, get back. You know, come on before we crack. Loose, cook loose, you know. Lose your blues, kick off those Sunday shoes, right? And I'm thinking about this. And this was at the time when I had just lost my job as a pastor, right? I'm like, I'm kicking off the Sunday shoes, I guess. And yet I'm going into a ministry called The Manor, which is going to be looking so different. And that was something really encouraging to me. So I'm just saying, like, sometimes just leave it with God. But God can give you those words, those impressions. For yourself, yes, but for others as well. Well, this section finishes with the ascension of Jesus in verses 9 to 11. Let's read there. It says, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising into the heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them and said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. So Jesus is taken up into the clouds, and it must have been an amazing scene. But the disciples are watching. And they're straining, it says. And they're thinking, I'm sure, is that it? Is that it? And of course they need to be reminded again. We all need to be reminded again. He's coming back. And you will have the Holy Spirit to guide you, reveal things to you, teach you, counsel you. Everything that Jesus told them along their 3-year journey. Well, as I close, I'm just going to ask Noah to come up now. And I want to give us some time to reflect. And I'm going to pray a prayer with you. But sometimes I think, you know, we're straining. You know, we're looking into the heavens. We're like, God, give me a sign. Show me. Like, we're straining. We're just barely holding on. And we're like, are you there? What's going on? And please know that the Holy Spirit wants to work in you, guaranteed. He wants to work in you and through you. And if we just take the time, you know, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, our spiritual eyes will be opened. He can and He will reveal things to you for yourself and for others. And just as a gesture, you know, I'm just going to ask you, just if you're comfortable, just hold your hands like this and just hold your hands open like you just want to receive this morning. And you can just pray simply now. Holy Spirit, just pray in your own heart. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Enable me, empower me to listen to you. You could even say, help me, Holy Spirit, to hear the things you want me to hear, to see the things you want me to see. Spirit of God will give you that discernment as you rest in His presence. Remember that. Be blessed. I'm just going to ask Robin if she would just come up now and close our service.
Thanks, Jack. Well, friends, thank you for joining us today. And I'm really looking forward to this series. As I said last week, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it individually. We need it as a church. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in us? And Holy Spirit, we give you the freedom to do it in us and through us. And so our prayer team will be at the front. If there's anything you want to process from this morning, if there's a burden that you're carrying, they'd be happy to pray for you. I'll be hanging out in the atrium, as will Jack. If you have any questions, if you want to know more about Jesus, if you want to know more about this whole faith thing and you're just a little bit confused or wondering, we are happy to chat with you. Our pastors, Johanna, Brian, you can reach out to us anytime and we'd love to grab a coffee. Coffee's kind of our second language. So let me just bless you as we go. May your hearts be flooded with light so you may know the hope to which God has called you, the riches that are yours through Christ, and the greatness of God's power for you. So go in peace, friends. And feel free to hang around. There's no rush to leave. So if you just want to hang around and visit, that'd be awesome. We'll see you soon.